Moncrief on News Talk.
Are you feeling burned out at work? You probably aren't alone. A study last year found that job burnout is at 66%, which is at an all-time high. So how do we prevent job burnout, and can we in the modern age? Joining me now is Alison Hodson, Country Director of CIPD. Alison, thank you for coming into studio. Is it an epidemic in your line of work? Are you seeing that? I don't mean the work that you do, but in terms of the people you work with, have we reached epidemic levels of burnout?
Look, I think burnout is a very real thing. 42% of Irish employees last year reported feeling burned out.
42?
And that's above the European average of 39%. So if you equate that to what that means for the economy, that's worth over 2 billion euros worth of lost productivity, which in reality is over 2% of the entire Irish tax take. So think of it, for every 100 euros tax taken, over 2 euros is lost to burnout through productivity that's declined.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, though, could it be the case that we're just renaming this and people were always cheesed off at work and 42% of the population were cheesed off? Or has, like, burnout, has it actually increased? Was it not always this way, except we're labelling it slightly differently?
So I suppose burnout is very personal. It's how each individual responds to pressure, and it can mean different things to different people. But I think, you know, 28% of employers this year in the CIPD survey reported increased absenteeism. Mm. And the top reasons, top causes for absenteeism, the first one is mental health. And then it's around non-work-related injuries. And then the number four top reason is work-related stress. Mm. And what contributes to mental health issues? It's mostly non-work factors, but also in there is a lack of managerial support, workload and job design. So on average in Ireland, we lose anywhere between 3 and 10 days per person per year to absenteeism.
Okay.
And that's not an easy fact to
deal
with.
And a lot of that has to do with burnout. So the obvious question is then, why is it at such a level? What's changed that burnout is so prevalent? Is it the post-COVID thing of always being on, or how do you see that?
And certainly that's an industry-specific facet, really. In your world, you will always be on just because of the nature of what you do. But ultimately, there are two sides to the same coin here. One, it's around what employers and organisations can do. And that's looking at job design. That's looking at having the right people in the right place with the right skills. And that's making sure things like your processes and your procedures are working in your favour. Mm-hmm. And then as an individual, what you can do if things aren't going your way, and if you're not achieving and delivering what you need to, have the conversation. And that requires you to say, this is just not working for me. There are systems, there are processes that could be changed. There is workload that could be divided out better. And that requires line managers to take a human-centred approach. And I guess that's what we at the CIPD would recommend to any issue in the world of work, is take a human-centred approach. Mm.
And I presume, you know, there might be some people still have that idea of, I'm not going to go to my employer and say I can't handle this or whatever. Are we getting over that a bit, do you think?
I would like to think so. I would like to think that everybody has a part to play, and the conversation is key. Mm. Because once the conversation starts, it can only get better in terms of things will be addressed, issues will be surfaced, and changes can be made.
There's a text in, and I was going to ask you this anyway. What are the symptoms of burnout? How do you know you're not just having a bad day and you're actually burned out?
Yeah, it's very personal, isn't it? It can be anything from fatigue to feeling overwhelmed to feeling that you just can't cope with facing into work, to that fear of dread in the morning where you just can't get yourself up out of bed. And I know there are a lot of reports around some of those are medical and nutritional issues, some are lifestyle issues. It's very personal and complex. It's certainly not binary.
Yeah, but it's not just a case of having the Monday morning blues. It's a bit,
it's sustained,
deeper than that.
Yeah.
What's your view on, like, email being read at certain times and all that kind of stuff? I mean, at what stage should we put the yellow man around our working day, if you know what I mean. By yellow man, I mean when they put down something for a flood in the floor and you go, do not stand here. What's the fence around a working day? Like, can you say to your employer, you know, I'm not going to check emails after 5 o'clock?
I mean, we do have the right to disconnect. Mm. And that is a personal choice as well. It's about back to that human-centered approach, being flexible. Because for some people, it might work for them better to be, I'm a night owl. So my most productive time of the day is from 4:30 onwards.
Right. And but presumably you're employed to start work at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly,
or something.
So don't call me at 9 a.m, John. No.
Okay.
But get me anytime from lunchtime onwards and I'll be on top form.
But is it okay to say to your employer, you know, I'm not going to read this after 6 o'clock because my contracted hours are 9 to 6 or 8 to 4 or whatever?
I mean, it's always better to keep things amicable. So flexible approach to everything really is what any good HR person would recommend you do. But if you look at, you know, there a lot of people are changing jobs at the moment. And if you look at the top reasons for changing jobs, workload and burnout is not in the top three reasons for changing jobs.
What is in the top three reasons?
Career progression, cost of living, and wanting a career change.
Okay.
And only at number six is workload and burnout the reason to change jobs.
Okay. So, and we're moving the conversation on slightly, but why are so many, why do you think that's happening, career progression, in a way that didn't happen before? Are we just more aware of the possibilities out there? Again, is it a post-COVID thing?
I think it's a number of different reasons. So AI has presented a big opportunity for everybody to work smarter, make efficiencies, and to free up your time to operate at a higher level and be more productive, and be smarter in what you do and how you do it.
Yeah. There's a text in here you're not going to like. Ultimately, HR do not care about employees. I work in a company with a revolving door of great staff. Problems have been flagged to management time and time again. Their response is people will always leave. Where can I go from here?
I mean, that is disappointing and upsetting to hear that is a reputation that HR has in that organisation. But it is all about culture, and it is all about the leadership role modelling what they want from their people. And one of the key reasons for success and one of the key reasons for not being successful is, does everybody understand what the overall goals are for an organisation? Does everybody understand how you're going to achieve those goals? How you're going to do that on a team level and how you're going to do that on an individual level. What part do you play? Because ultimately the world of work is an exchange. You're there to perform and be productive and achieve the goals. And it's about working together and all of that.
Yeah. There was a book, I think Sean actually featured it on the show a couple of months ago, that the Grand Resignation or the Great Resignation, I forget the author's name, but that there is a slew of people post-COVID or maybe with the onset of AI, looking at their careers and thinking, I don't want to do this anymore. I guess we're in a time where, you know, the job for life is no longer what it used to be. So the idea of people leaving jobs quicker than they used to makes a lot of sense. So it's really not that surprising. Like, I presume my children are going to have a myriad of jobs in a way that, and I don't want to say what age I am or what age you are, but we're somewhere in a similar ballpark, I imagine, in a way that you and I didn't. We probably thought we might have a couple of jobs or whatever.
Yeah, they call it the squiggly career now.
Okay.
And so the days of linear progression are no more. And if you look at Korn Ferry recently released some global surveys that 30%, 39% of the skills that chief executives use in today's world are new.
Okay.
50% of the activities that chief executive roles are now required to perform are new and have not been done before. So the world of work is changing, and rapidly so.
So that would imply that, you know, to be in a position of some kind of leadership, you clearly have to be very flexible and adaptable.
Agile and enjoy learning.
Right.
So it's about adapting and adopting what you know, and learning new and different and more effective and efficient and smarter ways of doing what you do.
There's a lot of text coming in about work burnout. One thing I would say is that people don't ever, say to people is don't ever go to the work HR people. Remember, work HR is not there to help you. It's there to protect the company from you. Don't ever tell them your business. If you've got an issue, go and talk to your union rep. I presume you disagree with that.
HR, leadership, trade unions, we all have a part to play in the world of work today. And all of those people are good people to talk to.
Yeah.
HR is there to protect the organisation, but it's also there to protect the individuals and the employees. And it's a fine balance.
Sure.
And that's the most exciting part of the world of HR, actually. So, I mean, you are talking to somebody who loves HR.
No, understandably so. But I guess, you know, the point is to this texter, and I'm sure you agree with it, I mean, HR, yes, they're there to make the company run better and ultimately make more money, but they have a vested interest in staff being happy.
Absolutely. You know? A core part of every organisation being successful is happy, productive staff who are performing. Yeah. So it's in nobody's interest for people not to be happy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this person's going to go to the union, but there is a HR department, I hope, that they can also think about talking to. Another text says, a lot of burnout can be put down to having two people in the house working and kids in childcare while stuck in traffic for hours, adding to the stress. And at the end of the month, you still can't make ends meet. It's hard to disagree with that.
And that's right, because the number three most common cause of absenteeism is non-work related stress. Yeah. And it's a sign of the times. It's the age that we live in. It's the cost of living. It's juggling all of those things. It's a lot of pressure for all of us humans to withstand.
And some people, let's not forget, also minded children during COVID. Clear, I have visceral memories of this. That's why I keep mentioning it. But there were people who were both working and their childcare was now at home. That was a stressful time for anyone who went through that.
Dogs as well, John. Dogs as well.
Dogs is, what do you mean?
But dogs have to be looked after and walked as well.
Yes, I wasn't sure where you were going with that. Yes, if you have a dog, no disrespect to any of the dog lovers out there, that can be hard too as well. There's loads of texts coming in on this. I work for a modern organisation. After 10 years of working there, I told them I was burnt out and couldn't make it in the next day. I was met with shock and incredulity. I'm sorry to hear that. Employees have the legal right to disconnect after the working day is over. HR waffle about flexibility is only to suit the employer, not the employee. What do you say to that?
I think, you know, there are two sides to the same coin here. Back to the point where organization success can only be achieved when you've got happy, productive people and employees who are performing. Yeah,
absolutely. Just remind us then again, in case someone's just tuned in, we are talking about burnout and it's kind of epidemicness. I'm talking to Alison Hudson, Country Director of CIPD. Just remind people, Alison, what are you saying they should do if they feel burned out?
Have the conversation.
Right. With your employer or your HR department.
With your team colleagues, with your HR department, with your line manager. Have the conversation, because there may well be lots of different issues as to why things are becoming overwhelming for you. Some of them could be systems, some of them could be processes, procedures that aren't working in your favour. There are all sorts of reasons around job design, the way we arrange ourselves and work, organisation structures, workflows, tools. There's all sorts of reasons, and that conversation is worthy of having.
We were chatting on the floor earlier. So when it comes to radio, journalism, people in the media, we don't get much sympathy because, you know, everyone thinks it's a great job and blah, blah, blah. But it's very hard to switch off in the line of work we do. And I'm not saying cry me a river, but it's just because you're always on, because you see something in a newspaper, on your kids' TV program, and you think, oh, that would work as a radio I do. Any advice for the hardworking people here in News Talk who find it hard to switch off sometimes?
Be sure you enjoy what you do, because if you enjoy what you do, being always on is a joy.
Well, being always on is a joy. My new word of the day, toilet paper, I'm going to have to start employing. That is Alison Hudson of CIPD, County Director of CIPD. Alison, you're also 100 years old. Is that not you personally? Far from it. But CIPD is 100 years old.
Over 100
years old.
So
there was HR 100 years ago.
There was. It was the Institute of Labour Management originally here in Ireland back in the 1940s.
Okay, well, keep flying the flag.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.